How important is your one vote? Some people might think, well, in this particular election, it doesn't matter because they're all bad. There's sort of a moral equivalence there. Second point, some people are thinking, well, it's over. We're almost being told that. I mean, Hillary might as well pick the drapes for the White House and so forth because she's already won. Or has she? And then the third point is some people are thinking, well, why does it matter if I vote? Because my vote won't count. We're going to talk about this right now on this segment of Vocal Point with Bill Federer. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Bill Federer is a best-selling author. He's a sought-after public speaker. His website is AmericanMinute.com. Bill, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Jerry, great to be with you.
So, does my one vote count?
Well, it definitely does, and one of the things that we need to realize that who is the king in America? Well, our founders set it up so that the people are. Here's a quote from signer of the Constitution, Gouverneur Morse. The magistrate is not the king. The people are the king. Chief Justice John Jay said, the people are the sovereign of this country. Abraham Lincoln said, the people of this country are the rightful masters of both Congresses and courts. And so if you think of it, with the people being the king, not to vote is to abdicate the throne. You know, we pledge allegiance to the flag and to the republic for which it stands. A republic is the people are king ruling through their representatives. And so when somebody dishonors the flag, and it's what stands for the republic, when somebody dishonors the flag, what they're effectively saying is, I don't want to be the king anymore. It's like, okay, if you're not the king, somebody else is going to rule your life. Hmm. There's a quote from James Wilson. He was the signer of the Declaration and Constitution. He says, every citizen forms a part of the sovereign power. He possesses a vote. And so collectively, we are the king, and we're expressing what servants that we want. And you have two very distinct ones. One has a track record of murder. Not just from abandoning the soldiers in Benghazi, but there is a long list of former associates. I saw an email of all the past presidents and the people that died of suspicious circumstances or committed suicide. And it's virtually nothing for like all the past presidents. And under the Clintons, it is this very long list. It defies coincidence. There's something that is a track record, and
well, let me just stop you one there. I've seen some of those things, and I don't know how truthful it is in the big picture, but I will say this. As I understand it, there was an intern with whom Bill Clinton allegedly had relations with, and she was going to testify, or she was going to speak about it the next day, but before she was going to do that, she and some other people were murdered gangland style in a Georgetown Starbucks where she worked. And that was before Monica Lewinsky was found out.
Yeah, and they didn't take any money or any belongings off their bodies.
That's just shocking. So anyway, okay, so on the one hand, we've got Hillary with a lot of questionable past, and then what else do you want to say? What do you want to say about Trump?
Trump is someone who is not a globalist. He's not taken hundreds of millions from Muslim sheiks or from George Soros. He is somebody that wants America to be great, and I think that he would work it just because he likes success, and he doesn't want anything on his resume that he failed. So he would want to make America great again for that reason alone. But he is not a globalist. And so we see...
Let me interrupt you. Unfortunately, the stories have come out and there's allegations and so forth. More than 10 women apparently have come forward and said, he made unwanted sexual advances on me and that sort of thing. I understand he has threatened to sue them, but all these details won't be revealed or whatever until after the election. But your comment there.
Right. So it's an October surprise. I ran for Congress three times. And I actually met with somebody who was somebody inside the Democrat machine but really didn't like it. And he said they have a telephone book of research they've done on you, but they can't find any dirt, but that won't stop them. They'll just make something up. And you have to have the task of cleaning your name. And if you don't have enough money to do it, the accusations stick. They did this, you know, with to try to destroy Sarah Palin, to try, and it's a personal destruction.
Yeah, and look at Mitt Romney. Yeah. Look at Mitt Romney. I mean, the guy, for all practical purposes, I mean, I don't agree with Mormonism or whatever, but for all practical purposes, he's a decent fellow. But by the time the Democrat smear machine was finished, he was, for all practical purposes, a monster. Okay, but Bill, we only have 10 minutes left in this discussion, and I want to really focus on, does your one vote count? And I think what you're doing here first, in this first part, is addressing that point that I made, that some people are thinking, well, they're both bad, and so I'm going to not vote for either of the major candidates, or I'm not going to vote at all because they're both bad. So your comment there, and then we'll go to the next issue.
Every vote is between two sinners, and every vote is, there's only one perfect person, Jesus, and he's not personally on the ballot right now. Every vote is a choice between the lesser of two evils. And we have to realize that those that are skilled in campaigning are going to have last-minute October surprises to try to derail the issue. But the issue is really, are we going to continue as a nation, or is it going to be globalism with George Soros and his agenda? Is it going to be the Supreme Court, where Hillary gets the Margaret Sanger Award from Planned Parenthood for what is literally the killing little babies?
Yeah.
It's no different than Manasseh in Israel and the prophets coming to him saying, you're sacrificing your own children to Moloch. You're filling the streets of Jerusalem with the blood of these innocent children. Therefore, God is fed up and Judah is history. Gone. It's going to be taken captive. Luckily, he had a grandson named Josiah that was able to repent and have a 31-year reprieve. But the what we're doing with Planned Parenthood, selling, you know, aborted baby body parts, that's no different than King Manasseh. And so you have one candidate who's promised to put people on the Supreme Court that will continue this practice. And I think if we vote and allow that to happen, then we are guilty of the blood of the innocent. And
all right, so there's a definitely
God for judging us.
Definitely a difference between the two candidates. So that takes issue one. Okay, what about the idea that, well, my vote doesn't really count? It really doesn't matter in the big scheme of things, and so I'll sit it out. What? How do you deal with that?
Does one vote count? You're voting as your duty unto God. So whether it makes a difference or not, you're the king in America, and you are exercising and dispatching with your responsibility by voting. Imagine visiting a king in the Old Testament, going through the streets of Jerusalem, seeing all kinds of murder, rape, and you get into the king's chamber, and he has his head in his hand, and he looks at you and says, you see all that crime coming in here? I wish somebody would fix it. And you, like, reach over, tap him on the shoulder, say, excuse me, you're the king. This is your kingdom. You're the one accountable to God to fix this. That's like somebody in America watching TV, seeing all the terrible stuff going on, saying, I wish somebody would fix it. Hello, reach through the TV tube and tap you on the shoulder. You are the king. You are the one accountable to God to fix this mess. Well, I need somebody to tell me what to do. Since when does the king ask his servants, can somebody tell me what I'm supposed to do here? Hello, you hear from God and you go out there and have his will done, but you are going to be held accountable to God. Romans 13, every authority is set up by God. God allowed our founders to set up the authority so the people are the ultimate king.
Unfortunately, Christians don't always have a good track record when it comes to voting, even though, you know, despite all the statements of people like D. James Kennedy and Ralph Reed, get out there and stuff, we just don't have the same track record we ought to. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and it's something I think we're going to be held accountable for. The same way, you know, if a king allows wickedness in his kingdom and just lets it continue, you know, that King Zedekiah, they want to throw Jeremiah in a pit, and he goes, what can I do about it? You guys are sort of running the show. It's like, dude, you're the king. Have a little backbone. Have some guts. The second, I do think it makes a difference. And when you look at the statistics, the 300 million people in America and, you know, 100 million voters. And you see these last elections, the large numbers of Christians that sat home. Mm. And so you see that the election is really determined by a relatively small group of people. And so if we can just motivate Christians to get out and vote, the numbers are overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Yes, they'll continue to do voter fraud, but I think that it's harder to do voter fraud with larger numbers. And so we may have to win by 20 or 30% to overcome the voter fraud, but it is possible. And so remember a couple of years ago, 2006, I think it was, there was a midterm election. And it was looking really good for the Republicans. And then a story broke of Ted Haggart, prominent religious leader in Colorado Springs. And it dominates the news cycle day after day, week after week. It just pounded, pounded, pounded. And what happened? It demoralized all of the religious right with this. And they knew about the story a year in advance, but they held it. And so the Ted Cruz brought out, how long ago did the news media know about this Trump tape?
Yeah, Access Hollywood or whatever
things. Yeah, he said, you know, if they would have released this during the primary, Ted Cruz would have won the primary. Mm. But he says that the news media had it and sat on it. Why? So that they could participate in the election. So the news media is not being objective; it's weighing in on trying to demoralize the base the Republican Party.
All right, we have time for the last objection, and that is the idea that it's over. This election is over. Hillary's won. The Senate's gone back to Democratic control, and therefore, why even bother to vote? Your thoughts?
I think it's not. You look at the stories in history of the times that it looked hopeless, and then God raises up little nobodies with faith and courage to make a big difference. In other words, God seems to like to wait until it looks like it's over. And then he touches some Gideon, some David, some, you know, Jephthah, some Deborah, somebody that has faith and courage that rises up. Mm. And so we collectively need to be that person that says, we're not going to be swallowed up in fear and discouragement. We're going to go forth and we're going to make this happen. Hmm. And I think it's exciting. The good Lord decided for you and I to be alive at this time in history. And then to realize how totally unique our government is. There's a great quote from Teddy Roosevelt, 1903. He said, in no other place and at no other time has the experiment of government of the people, by the people, and for the people been tried on so vast a scale as here in our own country. And so we are a government that's supposed to be a bottom up. It's the people. What we're seeing, if we don't change the pattern, we're going to see it be something where it's a top-down form of government. I was talking with Ed Meese 2 months ago. He said wherever they do these Charlotte riots, Milwaukee riots, Ferguson riots, Baltimore riots, and there's quote-unquote accusations of racism, then the Department of Justice comes in and has oversight permanently over the local sheriff's department. And the sheriff, instead of being elected by the people, accountable to the people, and wanting to do what's right because he wants to keep his job, now he's afraid of the Department of Justice lawsuits. And it's gradually turning the sheriffs and police departments into an enforcement arm of the agenda of the Department of Justice and the president. And so it's basically giving the president a standing army. And we're seeing this transition. And if we don't stop it now, I think that if Hillary gets 4 years, she'll have so corrupted the FBI, the CIA, the IRS, all these different government agencies, they're just going to be an enforcement arm to stay in power. I think we may not see another honest election again for the rest of our lives. Plus, if there's challenged elections and they go before the Supreme Court and she gets to put everybody on the Supreme Court, you're not going to get justice.
All right, we're basically out of time, but can I ask a yes or no question? Is it possible that the idea that this election is over is one big psychological ploy on the part of the Democrats? Is that possible? I mean,
right. They call it PSYOP, psychological operations. And we've seen that in Florida because it crosses two different time zones, and how they made a false, several elections back, they called the race for the Democrat, and the people in the western side of the state were in their car driving to the polling place. They turned around and went home.
Yeah, and that turned out to be and that was the 2001. If those people hadn't done that, and they had went ahead and voted, even though it may have appeared to be futile, we might not have ever had that Gore versus
yeah.
Bush and the Chads and all that stuff in Florida, Broward County, all that stuff might have been avoided if the people on the west coast of Florida had voted normally without the media interfering. Bill Federer, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. May God help America through this one. AmericanMinute.com for more information. Bill, thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right, bye-bye.